Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Come on, stand to your feet now. Come on, give the Lord a big hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, they wrote that song just for us. New song. Today, I want you to take your Bibles. We're going to go to Luke chapter 5, verses, we're going to go 12 through 16. And you'll find the responding verses. It's a very short little portion of scripture. We're going to have more scripture later on. But I think it's going to begin to set the groundwork for what we're going to talk about today. So, Luke chapter 5, verse 12, the responding verses you'll read. And it happened that when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing and as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Verse 16 together. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Let's pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we have an opportunity today to look at your word in a whole different, in a perspective that oftentimes we sometimes are reluctant to do so. Because oftentimes we desire things from you and they just don't come the way or they don't come to pass in our time frame or whatever it might be. But today, Lord God, there's going to be something I think that will be loosed out of our lives. It'll be something that will release the faith that we've always wanted to have, to believe you for that which seems to be impossible or that which seems to be unfortunately delayed. So, Lord, we ask that your presence would be with us, our hearts, our minds would be open to the power of the Holy Spirit. And by the time we leave here, Lord, things would change in us, through us, and with us, that we would just believe you for the things that seemingly are impossible. Holy Spirit, direct our time together and give you all the glory, the honor, the praise. For we pray all these things and we shout in one voice together that we shout amen to your word. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, the miracles of Jesus, or the miracles that flowed from the life of Jesus through everyday encounters with those who sought him out while he was here on the earth, are divine indicators of the power available to those who believe in his name. And somehow today, I just want to just take a moment for us to reflect on the very fact that God does amazing things, but somehow our experience doesn't reflect that because of things that either happened to us or through us. And Jesus confronted by those who believed in him to being their hope, their only hope for healing, deliverance, who were willing to forsake their pride by expressing their desire to receive deliverance from that which had held them in bondage of their affliction. One other thing I would state to you is this. There is a place of faith in Jesus that we must reach where our desire and belief in him and his promises will overcome any obstacles that will hinder us from receiving our healing, deliverance, or promise of provision. Now, that's a big deal. That's a huge thing to do. And just in a matter of the next, 35, 40 minutes maybe, that God's going to do all that. Well, here's the questions I have for you today. First of all, what do you believe is the greatest promise that Jesus has given you as a believer? What do you believe that is? I said, well, salvation, of course. That's the greatest promise that God would ever give it to us. But even beyond the fact of salvation, we're living here on this earth and we're faced with all kinds of problems and issues as far as that's concerned. And some of us feel like we've kind of been shortchanged in a number of things. But this interesting scripture, I'll pull out some others. But the part I love about it, he says, if you are willing, my life will change. And I don't think that's too far away from some of us that sitting here in this room today, is that, Lord, if you're willing, you could take away all the issue and the pain and suffering I've had, not only in my body, but in my relationship with my children or with my finances, whatever it happens to be. If you are willing, you could change everything about my life right now. That's the struggle. We'll deal with it in a moment. Second thing is this. Has the delay of receiving the promise from Jesus undermined your faith in his word? And I'm going to answer it for you. Yes, it has. Because you were expecting it maybe yesterday, day before that, or maybe it was a long time ago and you've kind of lost hope. But here's the idea about it, is that today I want to restore your hope, your confidence in Jesus, in his word and his authority in your life. Anybody willing to receive that? To be revived, to be restored, to be renewed. Because the third little thing, statement I'll make will be this. Are you suffering from religious PTSD? Oh, you say, what does that mean? Pretty tired from suffering defeat. I'd substitute the word defeat or suffering from delay. And I believe a lot of you are in that particular zone because you expected it would have happened by now. And somehow, for you, for others that are sitting here, it doesn't seem like Jesus is willing. He's going to let you suffer. Well, let's look at the scripture and see if we can find out something different. Jesus is willing to change your situation. In Luke chapter 15, verse 13, it says this. It says, And he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. That solve anything for anybody? God's willing, be cleansed. You say, well, wait a minute, hold on. This doesn't put this a blanket statement for everybody or every situation. Or what is he trying to say to us? The power of the Lord is not challenged by what we are facing. We got to get that resolved. But we must boldly invite Jesus into our situation. And for some reason, either we're apprehensive to do so or we invited him in and it seems like nothing has changed. So what's the point? Why should we suffer any longer? Why don't we just accept life for what it is and just kind of move on? And unfortunately, there are many people that are believers, have been believers for years, they kind of accept the status quo that this is how my life's going to be. God's not willing to heal me, and I guess I can deal with that, even though here's the problem. And I was kind of hoping we'd sing this song. I didn't know it was on our roster. Here's the song we sang. He's a good, good father. He is who you are. You don't believe that. No, you don't. Because if he was a good, good father, he would have delivered me from this long before now. And I want to resolve that for you in the fact that God's status need not change with our situation. God is good in spite of what we're going through. But consider this. What appears to be impossible to man is possible with the Lord. Our destiny and our outcome will be determined by who we believe Jesus to be. If God is a good, good father, if Jesus is a healer and deliverer and gives salvation, what has changed about his status? Unfortunately, we don't think he's willing. And I want to just take you over that little hump in the road. Because Jesus, the very next thing he says, I'm willing, be cleansed. I want to move the if out of your situation. And the faith that God has for you, and I'll give you the timetable, I can't reflect, but I will give you some ideas of how that's going to work. Well, the man full of leprosy saw that Jesus is the only hope for his cure. Now, we got to resolve one thing right now. How many of you believe that Jesus is the only one that can solve your situation instantaneously? Raise your hand. Good. And that's a great place to be. Because that's the first step in faith in Jesus, is realizing he can do it. He's the only one who can do it. He has the power and authority to change your situation in an instant. Come on, shout amen. Even though it hasn't happened, he can do it. And you need to tell the devil in the face of the adversity and even the pain that some of you have in your body right now that God can deliver me right now. All of a sudden the devil said, wait, I'm going to get nervous here. Well, I'm about to give him a heart attack, so don't worry about it. The desire of his heart was to be made whole, okay. But there was no doubt in his mind that Jesus was able to cure his disease. Well, the healing that Jesus granted to the man was granted with contingencies. Interesting. Well, you know, maybe you read past those contingencies, but let's examine them just for a moment. One of the contingencies was, according to the law of Moses, his healing needed to have verification by the priest. I remember several years ago, and this happened in one of our services on a Sunday morning. A lady had come for prayer, and of course, you know, you're feeling kind of frisky that morning. Oh, God can heal all different things, and in the name of Jesus, you're going to do this type of thing. And then the lady said, I have cancer. I said, oh, Jesus. Oh, no. No, you know, I'm into colds. I'm into knees, back aches. Those are my specialty. Cancer is not on my you know, itinerary of things to do. Cancer's over there. I'm over here. Why? And so we prayed. It wasn't a long prayer. I didn't cast every demon out of hell trying to deal with this situation. I said, Lord, you are the healer. You are able to do exceedingly above what I could even ask or think or imagine. In the name of Jesus, Lord, heal this lady. Amen. And so she says, you know, things feel different. And you know what I told her? I said, I want you to do something. If you really believe and sense, because it's your body, you go to the doctor, you get verification, and give me a call next week. I didn't expect my phone to ring. God completely healed her. She brought back the x-ray to show that the tumor was gone, and God healed her in a very simple prayer. You know the reason why I told you that? It's not because of me. It's because of God. That when he says he's going to do it, it's done. And for those of you who have been kind of sitting back and saying, well, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I've suffered with this for a long period of time. I don't have time to go through all the scriptures, but I'll tell you, a man that laid on the bed for 38 years along a poolside waiting to be shoved in the water found out that, you know, him laying there wasn't getting the job done. But he has some excuses. Every time I get ready to get in the pool, somebody gets there in front of me and I don't get no blessing. Really? Because that's all that God's got. He's got more than you could absolutely imagine. Well, let's move a little further in this. Well, the contingency, that was one thing. The second thing, Jesus required that he give an offering out of gratitude for his healing. Oh, so we got to get a little money. Throw a little money at it. I've seen fake healers. I've seen people take money from folks. I've seen people just, you know, if you want to have your blessing, send me $1,000 and God's going to do it. And you send $1,000 and your bank account is low $1,000. Nothing has happened. Was that what Jesus was doing? Or, you know, is there a time that God wants us as believers to be willing, out of gratitude to God, surrender sometimes that the most important thing to is his finances. And this is not about buying your healing, but he says it was already set up that this is a way to confirm the fact that God has done it by giving an offering. Now, do not misinterpret my words by saying that you got to pay to get healed. Anybody who heard that, you heard it wrong. But in this particular sense, there was something that he needed to do. That was the second thing he was told to do. And he's further, here's the part that all of you can do. Very easy. Give testimony to what God has done. Tell somebody about it. Matter of fact, tell the person that you at least would want to tell about it. I was telling some guys, I go to the club and work out, and I just told them, I said, you know, God healed me. Oh, and some of you didn't know this, of cancer. He said, what? You had cancer? Well, yes, I did. I went through 39 radiation treatments for cancer. I've been cancer-free for 4 years now. But you know what? It wasn't the radiation that healed me. It was God's power that healed me. He said, well, oh, don't even say that. It was the radiation. I know it was. God gave somebody sense enough to put the radiation where it's supposed to be that got me healed. But you know what I found out while I was there? Rather than moaning and complaining about this particular thing, there were many people sitting in that waiting room that I was able to tell them about the Jesus that sent me there to talk to them. In the midst of my suffering, God was able to do some healing in their life. You know, sometimes you got to go through some stuff for somebody else in order for you to get what you need. So that's how it works with, you know. But it's a powerful thing. You got to give testimony to God and what he does. Well, let's go a little further. Our desire for healing can be transformed into what it takes for others to overcome the suffering and have their needs met. In verse 15, it says this, "And however, the report went out concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." I sincerely believe this with all my heart, that we have been empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring people into wholeness, into healing, if we are willing to testify, then tell people the truth that Jesus is the one who does this. But you know what we're afraid of? What if it doesn't work? Can we talk about it for a moment? What it are you talking about? Jesus is not an it, he's a person. And remember, he says, if you are willing, if we come to him in believing faith, God can do those amazing things in our life. Well, it goes on like this. Our testimony of healing can help others to be delivered from their PTSD. And people came to hear the message of hope in Jesus, and people received healing as a result of trusting in these words. Now, look at this. We will discover great grace when we are willing to testify about the goodness of the Lord. The Bible said, they overcame him. You know who him was? The devil. By the blood of the Lamb, which Jesus has already shed, and by the word of their testimony. Jesus has already done his job on the cross. Can I get an amen? Amen. You celebrated that a few minutes ago. But you know what your job is right now? Is to be a testimony for all he's done in your life. You ought to be a walking billboard of Jesus. And when you're talking about Jesus? Let me tell you a little something about it. When I didn't have any hope, when nobody else would talk with me, Jesus met me in my midnight hour, and he gave me words of comfort, words of restoration. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. It's an amazing thing what he does. Well, the leper's confession was that he knew that Jesus could solve his problem if he was willing. But here's the thing. We must approach Jesus with confidence, knowing that he has the answer to our problem. Now, I want this not only to be practical, but that you would leave here with some empowerment. Many of you walked in these doors with an issue, with a problem, with a sickness, whatever. But do you believe Jesus can take care of it? If you do, lift your hand. Lift it up high. No, wave it. Wave it at the devil saying, Jesus can take care of this. Okay, good. I got the right people. I'm in the right church. I want to make sure. We should not feel rejection or that he is not concerned about our need of his intervention. Now, I got to take you to another story, because this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible about Jesus and someone with an impossible situation. We're going to go into faith to reach out to Jesus with confidence. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. This is good. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered for many things from many physicians. She had spent all she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Let's stop for verse 28 and then go on to 29 in just a moment. That's kind of the introduction of the situation. A woman had reached out at a level of faith that she no longer allowed to live in defeat. If you've come to the end of the road, you get pretty desperate. You'll try anything. Or was it Jesus, or was it she would try anything, or was it the reputation of Jesus inside her to say, you know what? This Jesus is opening blind eyes. Jesus is restoring health to folks, lame or walking, blind or being able to see. I got to get to Jesus. And here's the part I love. All I need to do is not touch him, but if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. I want to give you some hem faith today. H-I-M and H-E-M. Faith in him and faith in him. Because the him we're talking about is Jesus. And if you can get close enough just to touch the hem of his garment, your life is going to change. Now, what does that mean? Well, you say, wait a minute. Well, she made a decision that she would not live in the shadows of disappointment any longer. I want you to be honest with me. And those of you who aren't going to be honest with me, you may be struck dead. No, not really. You'll have an incurable disease. No. But how many of you have ever been disappointed in something you thought Jesus was going to do and it didn't happen? Lift your hand. You're not going to hell for that. But there's something about disappointment that sets you up for an attitude or a reflection toward, well, if this didn't happen, that probably won't happen. And we have a negative sphere that revolves around us. But here's the place I want you to reach like this woman reached. Remember, if you read the story, she'd been sick for 12 years. And, of course, obviously, issue of blood, and many of you know, it's a woman issue, and I don't need to go into all the details. But you know, that's very inconvenient. 12 years, long time, okay? Leave alone. So, but she went to the doctor. Not only did she go to the doctor, she spent everything that she had. She has no more money. But something arose in her life. I don't need money. I need Jesus. That's the first place I want you to move to today. Forget about the money. Forget about finding another doctor. Forget about finding another program. I want you to get a hold of the fact of we're going to touch Jesus today, and that's going to take care of it. Just deposit that in your mind, because that's something we're going to go back on in just a moment. Here's another thing that she believed that Jesus understood people who had lived in pain for a long time. I need to tell you this. Jesus understands the pain you've been in for a long time. Can I get an amen? He's like, oh, she's in pain, so what? Are you kidding me? He's a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. He knows what pain is like because when he went to the cross, they let him have what with pain. But by his stripes, you are healed. And he went through a lot of pain, so he understands pain. If you're in pain right now, I want you to know that God understands your pain. He knows, understands it's real. Well, she knew that Jesus could not touch her. Well, let's go with the legalistic standpoint. According to the laws, and Jesus performed under the laws, you were not to touch a woman in her condition. You just didn't do that. But she said, but that isn't going to hinder me from having my healing. I need to touch him. That means the laws of the culture did not permit Jesus to touch her. Her faith drew her to Jesus to touch him. And in the fact of her reaching out to touch him, it was her faith and not the fringe that contained her healing. Faith and not the fringe. There was an action point. There was a focal point. She says, if I can get close enough to Jesus, I don't have to, grab his leg or anything. I just need to touch the hem of his garment. And I know that the moment that I do that, something's going to happen to me. I want to increase your faith right now. That what is the hem that you need to touch about Jesus that will release faith to you? What is the earmark that you have in your mind that will give you the courage to move toward the Lord? Well, she perceived that Jesus was not afraid to be in the presence, watch this, brace yourself, of dirty people. The devil has convinced some of you sitting here that you're too dirty. You're too unclean. Your thoughts, your actions, what you did last week, what you're planning to do later on. Jesus knows what's in your dirty mind, and he doesn't want to have anything to do with you. And that's the reason why you're in this condition. Consider this. There was a great multitude of people around Jesus. She refused to let her previous defeat keep her from having an encounter with Jesus, and her connection and healing was immediate in accordance with what she believed about Jesus. Now, can I release some faith over here? I may have some left for you, so hang on. Do you have the faith to believe that the connection you can make with Jesus will make a difference? That's the question. Is there a yes or no? Good. You're in. You heard what they said. Don't copycat them. I'm asking for your faith right now. Do you believe that the faith that you have in Jesus will make a difference in your situation?
Yes.
Say it out loud.
Yes.
Something powerful is going to be released because of what you just confessed. You said, what? Watch this. I can't wait to get to the end. Matter of fact, I want to throw this one and get to the end real quick. Okay. Here's the part. So our connection was immediately in accordance with about Jesus. Well, Jesus' inquiry about, you know, let's get to the next little scripture. Let's go to the place where I didn't finish the scripture reading. Can you go back and we'll pick it up? Okay. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around into the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" We move on to verses 33 through 34. Let's get those verses out of the way. Okay. And he looked around to see her who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Woo! Glory to God. Your faith today is going to make you well. So what? You made it too simple. I mean, there's more I've got to do. I've got four more doctor's appointments. Really? You want to keep them or do you want to be healed? Take your pick. Let me show you how this works. Well, so Jesus' inquiry of who touched me was not a protest against her faith, but Jesus wanted her to give glory to God for her healing. Now, one thing we need to resolve. When, not if God heals you, are you going to give him the glory? Well, that was weak. Are you going to give him the glory?
Yes.
That's better. Are you going to give him the glory?
Yes.
That's how I want it to be. Of course I am. Because he's the one who done it. Well, watch this. He wanted her, so Jesus says this, "Who touched me?" Do you think Jesus was absent-minded, or he says his virtue went out of me? Well, yeah, he's acknowledging that. And the reason why he said that, I believe, is to let her know that it's not imaginary. And this healing that she experienced, her fountain dried up at that point, it wasn't the fact that it was going to come back again. It wasn't just a temporary glitch. But when he said, "Who touched me?" when she realized she touched me, she said, "Oh, I am healed." And that's the faith that Jesus wants to release to you today. So here we go. And the other thing he says, he wanted her to give glory to God. So he said, "Who touched me?" And then this is what I love about it. He brings her out of the crowd, probably stood up in front of everybody. "Now, my dear, tell these people what happened to you." She may have been trembling or whatever, but you know, he wanted her to give testimony, and there's some reasons why. You need to know what they are. Here's one of the reasons why. She wanted to give glory to God for her healing. He wanted her to clear her reputation and give her a totally new life. Because unless she made this confession before people, she would still be considered dirty and unclean. But he says, "Well, I want your daughter to stand right here next to me. Tell these folks your story. Tell them how you've been cleansed and tell them how you've been delivered. So you'll have a whole new life in front of you." God wants you to erase all of the trauma that you've been through, and now you'll have a powerful testimony for people that are alongside of you. And so her testimony was the key to her freedom from having to live as an outcast, an unclean person. But here's the part that I love. Did you get that little part in there, through in there? Daughter. From a woman to a daughter, Jesus took ownership of her. He invited her into his family. He says, I'm your covering now. You belong to me. What a powerful thing. Well, this last little piece, I think, will help all of us. Two scriptures we're going to read. The promise of God's constant presence with us. Deuteronomy chapter 31, 6, and Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. So we got three scriptures. First of all, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. For the Lord your God, he is one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. How about that? Not only now, but forever. Now, going to the one that's in Hebrews, this is a good place too. Let your conduct be without covetousness and content with such things as you have, for himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Is that a good promise or what? I would need these last few minutes to explain something to you. The same God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. The same promise he made in the Old Testament, he made in the New Testament. That promise is good today. He will never leave you or forsake you. If he's willing, he is willing. He wants to be a part of you all the time. Well, the Lord has consistent promise to never leave us or forsake us. In the presence of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, New Testament is confirmed to us. But what about this? Regardless of what things that we go through, Jesus has promised that we'll not go through them alone. Even in your sickness right now, even if you're in pain right now, Jesus is still with you. Wow. Somebody needed to hear that. Because if you feel like you've been forgotten or abandoned, that's just not true. What about this? Jesus promised us the comfort of the Holy Spirit no matter what we're going through. Now, what does that mean? It means that, you know, when he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Listen to this illustration. You can have someone living in your household. They're still there, but they could have emotionally forsaken you. And some of us feel emotionally forsaken. That even though he's here, he doesn't really isn't concerned about me or what I'm going through. This last scripture is so familiar that, and I've done it at many memorial services, but it's the one that Jesus gives to his disciples. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. There where I am, you may be also. Jesus says, you may feel like you're abandoned, but you never are. I was thinking about you, and I prepared a place for you. Jesus has a place for you, and you should never, ever allow emotions to talk you out of that. Let me break this down for you in these last few moments. Even when you feel alone, you're not. Pretty simple. We do not need to look to anyone or anything else to satisfy our feelings of loneliness. And the constant presence of the Holy Spirit will remind us that there's no reason to fear. Well, so he promised his disciples that he'd be with them. Let me go to my last scripture. Jesus will not abandon you even when he is disappointed in you. Before I read that, I need to make a guarantee to every person here who's ever failed God. That would be all of us. That'd be all of us. So what? But I mean, I think the classic story was the story of the prodigal son. Are we talking about somebody who really failed? Oh, he got a double F. I want the money now. I'm tired of the way you do things around here. Give me my portion of the inheritance. I'm going out and I'm going to party with my friends. And I don't care nothing about you and all your old ways. My homies and I, we're going to kick it. That's the new Richard version. Let's pick it up, verse 20. And he arose. This is after he's gone all this stuff. He said some things, but I just took this one verse because I don't have time to preach the whole thing. The fellow who was a prodigal had a decision to make. He says, there's some things about my dad that I know, that he is a good, good father. I'm going to go to my dad, tell him I've sinned against him. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me a hired servant. And this is the result of that, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Many of you, that does not make sense. It does not compute. It isn't rational. It isn't what you think. And I want to tell you why. This whole story about is you don't think God can act on that level because of what you've done. You think that your healing, your restoration, your deliverance is based upon your behavior. Really? And you got to earn it. What did this prodigal earn from his father? He spent everything. When you come to Jesus today, you need to come to Jesus with nothing. Realize you have nothing to offer. I'm not worthy to be called your son or your daughter. I come to you and make me a hired servant. I make no demands on you. I've taken everything that's good in my life. I've ruined it. I want you to see the response. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him. Two words. And ran. I want you to picture in your mind right now Jesus running to you in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your unworthiness, and in the midst of the very fact you say, I don't deserve anything you do for me. And he ran to him, and what's his response? He fell on his neck and kissed him. As the worship team comes back up here, I want to say these final words. I think that will help you. Jesus does not emotionally withdraw his presence when we stray. Because some of you feel like you're far away from Jesus at this point. He says, I don't deserve it at this particular point. I've strayed away from God. And so I don't deserve him doing anything in my life. The thing that we need to realize is that you cannot cure or help someone you forsake. Jesus has not forsaken you because of what you've done. He's here for you today. Jesus will remain with us in the times that we feel the most defeated. And some of you are sitting here in defeat because saying, well, you know, I really would respond to an altar call, but you know what? After all I've done, after the way I've been, after my life has gone, this week's been gone lousy and this other type of thing, to come to God now would be hypocritical. No, to come to God now is the best time for you to come. When you don't feel like you deserve it, that's the best time to come. Because that's when you learn about the mercy and the love and the compassion and the understanding and the willingness of God. He says, yes, I will come to you. Yes, I will heal you. No, you don't deserve it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Amen. Glory to God. When we go through the wilderness of circumstances, he will sustain us with his word. When you go through the fiery furnace of adversity, he'll be in your midst. Last scripture says this, as he promised, he will sustain us. We faithfully follow him as a disciple. This is what he says in 28. He says, go ye therefore, make disciples of all men and of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. I want to direct your hearts into the love of God and faithfulness of Christ. Everybody bow your heads for the moment. PTSD pretty tired of suffering defeat. Pretty tired of suffering delay. I'm going to come down today on the floor, and I'm going to give an invitation to the people that say, you know what? I don't deserve anything that God wants to do in my life today. Some of you may be coming for salvation. Some of you will be coming for restoration. But here's the part. Some of you will be coming for healing, knowing you don't deserve it. I want to invite you to come. It won't be on the merit of who you are. It will be on the merit of who he is. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Listen to me carefully. He's willing to make you clean. But on top of that, he has healing for you. Let me pray. And then I'm going to invite every person that needs healing, restoration, salvation without any dispersion between any of you, for you to come to Jesus today. First of all, would you stand your feet? Everybody stand up. It's a lot easier to do this because I think you'll be moved or motivated when you're already standing. And listen to me as I pray. Lord God, none of us deserve your grace. None of us deserve your mercy. None of us deserve the scripture that says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And Lord, we're operating from a merited place where we feel like we've got to be a certain way at a certain level for you to come to us. But Lord, as the prodigal who had done everything wrong, who had gone against his father, decided, I'm going to come home to my dad. And he had a speech already made up. He's going to tell him how bad he was before he could get one word out of his mouth. His father ran to him, hugged him, fell on his neck, and kissed him. We need the kiss of the Father today that will wipe away all the trouble that we're in. In the name of Jesus. Lord, as I conclude this prayer, Lord, I want to invite people today that need the touch of the Father and have never wanted to come at this particular place because they feel like they don't deserve healing. They got to get their act together, then God will probably heal them. I want to break that curse off of them and let them boldly come to you today to expect you to do what only you can do. Lord, I want to invite the person that feels they're so far from you that they've sinned so much that you wouldn't possibly want them into your kingdom. I want to invite them to come today. And lastly, those people that would say, you know, I just need to know that I can just touch the fringe of his garment. And I know if I touch Jesus, I'm going to be made whole.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.